This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 5th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at a school reform proposal that took place in Iowa that's being considered in Illinois. We'll see how in Iowa it's working or not working, as the case may be. We'll also get a forecast from Mike Sola. First of all, look at today's news. Illinois lawmakers return to Springfield today as an overtime legislative session continues. They have until the end of the month to reach a budget deal before Illinois' fiscal year ends. Amanda Vinicky reports the Blagojevich administration has plans to meet that deadline.
The session was scheduled to end last Thursday, but Governor Rod Blagojevich and the General Assembly's leaders were unable to reach an agreement on a spending plan. Blagojevich's top staff member, Deputy Governor Sheila Nix, says the administration wants to avoid a repeat of that situation.
The governor wants to make all our senior staff available to members to answer their questions and provide information.
In other words, doing their jobs. Nix also says the governor wants to begin each week meeting with both the Democratic and Republican leaders of the House and Senate, and end each week talking with rank-and-file legislators. Previously, Blagojevich said he wanted to keep the GOP out of budget talks, but overtime session rules require additional votes to pass the fiscal plan, giving the minority Republicans more of a say. Republican leaders say they will attend. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The budget is not the only item still on hold. There's still no deal to bring down the price of electricity in Illinois. Some lawmakers say they won't approve a budget until there's an agreement on power rates. Two University of Illinois economic reports point to a slowdown after some very impressive figures over the past few months. Employment data collected by economist Jeffrey Hewings counts a net loss of 6,100 jobs in Illinois in April. That was the first decline in employment since last November, according to the Illinois Economic Review. Hewings says it may be a sign that the state is settling into a period of only modest economic growth. The review also says six other nearby Midwest states lost only a total of 7,600 jobs among them in April. Though over the past year, Illinois has outperformed the other states in job growth. The same modest slowing can be seen in the latest U of I Flash Index that was issued yesterday. The monthly gauge of economic performance dipped slightly from April to May, but remains on the side of growth. Its author, Fred Gertz, says the report based on month-to-month state tax revenues suggests that the Illinois economy is growing, but not at a spectacular pace. Kurt Diedrich's firing has been changed to a resignation, one that comes with a $100,000 settlement. That's the result of a special Champaign County board meeting last night about the controversial former supervisor of assessments. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The county board voted 20-4 to immediately reinstate Diedrich to the job he was dismissed from last month, and then to accept his immediate resignation. Board members also voted to allocate $100,000 as a settlement for Diedrich. In return, he's dropping his lawsuits against the county. County Board Chair Pius Weibel says this avoids what could have been a costly and lengthy legal battle.
We came to an agreement that he resigned effective immediately, and so we can move on.
Some who voted against the settlement were willing to risk a lawsuit, including rural Urbana Republican Steve O'Connor.
He's been saying all along, bring us on. I think we should have took him up on it and let us go to court and see where it fell.
But Diedrich still had some supporters in the county board, including Champaign Democrat Lorraine Cowart.
I feel that our actions against Mr. Diedrich is illegal, and I think that Mr. Diedrich was following the duties of his position.
Diedrich's attorney Glenn Stanko says the $100,000 settlement will cover Diedrich's salary for the remaining year of his appointment, plus legal fees and the compensatory damages he sought in his lawsuit. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Joe Mintz will continue as the interim supervisor of assessments until the county board finds a permanent replacement for Diedrich. Two fired Blagojevich administration employees are suing to get their jobs back. The Illinois Civil Service Commission is already reviewing whether Don DeFrades and Michael Casey should be rehired, but they claim the commission missed its deadline for deciding the case. Teachers and support staff in the Urbana School District have voted overwhelmingly to ratify a new 3-year contract. The president of the Urbana Education Association, Tracy Luchik, wouldn't give details, but she says the vote shows that most union members feel very positive about the new agreement. The District 116 school board votes on the proposed contract at their meeting tonight at 7:30. A petition drive is underway to change the way municipal elections are conducted in the city of Urbana. Supporters of an instant runoff system say it would provide for more competition and encourage voter turnout. It would ask voters to rank candidates by order of preference. If no one person wins a majority of first preference votes, then the candidates with the fewest votes are eliminated, and votes for those candidates would transfer to other preferences. Votes would then be retallied until one candidate gets a majority. Daryl Cruz is a spokesman for the group Citizens for Instant Runoff Voting. He says the system also prompts citizens to study up on voter concerns.
You, in fact, have to look at the issues and study the candidates and think, well, you know, how do I want to rank these candidates in terms of my preference, which may build some interest among the population, and it causes the candidates to appeal to a broader audience also. So you hopefully have more of a positive dialogue and a focus on issues.
Cruz says the petition drive requires 5% of those who voted in Urbana's last election to support an instant runoff. That amounts to just over 700 signatures. It would prompt a referendum to support the new voting system on next February's municipal ballot. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Illinois General Assembly wants to give residents a chance to help pay for new schools without raising property taxes. State Representative Pat Vershore from the northwest Illinois town of Milan sponsored the bill in the House and based it on a 9-year-old Iowa law. It's known as the Local Option Sales Tax for schools, and it gives counties the authority to hold a referendum asking residents to increase their sales taxes by up to 1%. The proceeds are then given to school districts in the county based on enrollment. Illinois Public Radio's Michelle O'Neill reports on the Iowa law and the problems it created.
Voters in every Iowa county have approved the 1% local option sales tax for schools, and it's paid for millions of dollars in new and improved buildings and infrastructure. But Margaret Buckton from the Iowa Association of School Boards says there's a big difference in the amount of money distributed to schools in urban areas compared to what rural schools receive.
As they started to see counties pass local option taxes for school infrastructure in Iowa, it became obvious to the taxpayers in the rural counties that they were traveling to those shopping centers, making their purchases there, and their tax dollars were staying in those retail-rich counties to upgrade those schools, but not coming back to the place where the person was from. And since the folks in the rural areas they shop in those urban centers, it created a real disparity in the per pupil amounts available. So we saw a range. Now, this is beginning in 2001 when we started to see more and more counties pass this. We saw a range of from over $1,000 per pupil in Polk County, which is where Des Moines is, down to $114 per pupil in Loiza County, which is just south of the Davenport area. So it was a 10-to-1 difference in the amount of resource available to upgrade school facilities. And so the rural districts got together and put some litigation in place to put pressure on the legislature to address a more equitable distribution.
Surprisingly, even school officials from urban districts supported the lawsuit. Buckton says they all agree that the best long-term funding solution is a statewide 1% sales tax. But instead of doing that, Iowa lawmakers created a local option sales tax pool, and the state is funding it with $10 million a year for 10 years. A couple of years later, the legislature decided to add to the pool, this time with money from other school districts.
So this was 5 years after the initial local option tax was passed. The legislature came in 2003 and said, wait a minute, we're going to collect it on a county basis, but any county over the statewide average would have to put their excess funding into this pool to bring up the rural areas. And some counties that were over the average are already contributing to the pool. So between that contribution and the $10 million appropriation, they have brought up now the bottom counties to $420 per student. And we're still seeing just over $1,000 per student, maybe $1,200 per student in the retail-rich areas.
Another problem is that districts in rural counties, which have extended their local option sales tax, can't borrow money based on expected revenue from other counties. That's because there's no guarantee they'll extend their local option sales taxes.
Even the folks in the rural centers, the rural areas, who aren't getting as much as the urban centers, they have been able to upgrade facilities or get new computers for the first time in generations. And it's not enough, but at least it's an alternative to property taxes. Because especially in the rural areas, and I'll bet you have a similar situation in Illinois, you've got an agricultural base, and those property taxes are borne disproportionately by farmers and others who are trying to make a living. And it becomes a tough business decision for them to support the bond issue. And that's the only other way to pay for infrastructure. So even though it's not enough, you would still hear every school advocate across the state of Iowa saying the local option tax was a beneficial thing to get us started. And if we could just bond against it long term, it would take care of our problems.
The Iowa Association of School Boards Associate Director of Public Policy also says county and school district officials in urban areas will have a tricky decision to make in a year or two when their local option sales taxes expire.
They have to decide, do we want to use property taxes instead of sales taxes to pay for school buildings, or do we want to continue this tax knowing that a portion of that revenue is going to go support their neighbors?
Even so, Buckton says Iowa voters in Woodbury and Blackhawk counties, which are retail rich, have already extended their local option sales taxes.
School buildings are an important factor in student achievement. And we've seen, because of this local option tax, we have science labs in middle schools in Sioux City for the first time, where they've never had that before. We've got buildings that are actually structured in ways to save energy costs, so that money can be redirected to the classroom to provide more teachers and more curriculum support and all the things that make the biggest difference for kids. And sometimes that gets set aside when we're having this conversation. The reason this is a good investment in Iowa is because we care about our kids having all those resources they need to achieve. And I know the folks in Illinois do too.
I'm Michelle O'Neill.
We'll have gradually warming temperatures over the next couple of days, but a chance of rain doesn't really leave the forecast in all of the two states at once. For today, for example, our forecaster Mike Sola says in northwest and west central Illinois it'll be mostly sunny, but elsewhere a mix of clouds and sun with scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in the afternoon. Our highs today will range from 63 near Lake Michigan to 82 in the far south. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, and lows ranging from 45 in northeast Indiana to 60 in the far south. And for tomorrow, in western Illinois, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, but elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. A nicer day tomorrow for most of the two states, and highs tomorrow will range from 75 in northeast Indiana to 88 in far southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 5th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.